Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So, discerning God's will, session 3, daily life and life assignments. So, two kind of different ends of the spectrum. What we've already covered so far in this series is that we've covered the general will of God. We talked about in the first session, different Bible passages that say, this is God's will that you do this, fill in the blank. And so those are things that we can know. This is God's will no matter what, no matter who I am, where I'm at, what I'm doing, what season I'm in, whatever. This is God's will for my life. We covered that. And it's a very foundational for us as believers. Second thing we looked at in the second session was learning how to discern and navigate the various seasons of life. That there are different seasons where the Lord really wants us to focus on one thing or another. And really, we came at that from a number of different angles. But there's some real truth to that. That each season of our life should look different, even in the Lord, because the Lord's trying to do things in us, and that scripture from glory to glory, that we're always moving forward in our relationship with the Lord, at least we're supposed to be, and that's His desire, and I know that it's our desire as followers of Christ. And so in those two sessions, we covered really a whole lot, but there were two areas that we really didn't touch at all, and that is just the daily, what does God want me to do right now? I mean, this second, and in 5 minutes, and in an hour. And then we didn't cover the other side of that equation is the life assignments, not seasons, not just the general will of God for everybody, but what are some specific life assignments that God has given me? And I'm really even going to divide that into a second category, or a third rather, and that is just life pursuits, things that aren't necessarily an assignment, but some things that have been written on our heart that are unique to us, that God has prescribed for us to be about and to pursue and to care about and have and to carry in our hearts all the days of our lives. And so what this comes down to is the renewing of our mind, that we would begin to think and act and like and desire the things that God wants instead of the things that we want. And the scripture passage you guys know probably well, Romans 12:2, talks about this concept and really, I believe, relates it back to the Word of God and the importance of the scripture in this process of us trying to learn how to discern God's will. It's not just about memorizing a few Bible verses. It's about the Word of God, which when we say that concept, the Word of God, when we read John 1:1, that the Word became flesh, we start talking about that and then we say the Word became flesh. And then the Word became book, and now we can read the Word of God. This is all mysterious, in a mysterious way, is interconnected, and in more than a parabolic sense, the Bible is Jesus. It's the Word of God, the very testimony of who He is, the nature of God. And so when we're talking about the Bible, we're not just talking about a book. We're not just talking about facts. We're actually talking about, as we begin to live out of the Word, as we begin to fellowship with the Lord in the Word of God and allow the Word to wash over us, we're really allowing an incomparable connection between our hearts and the Lord as we allow the Word of God to wash over us and transform us and shift our thinking, renew us, really continue to make us new day by day. And so Paul says this in Romans 12:2. He says, don't conform to the pattern of the world. And if you want to know the way out, because all of us are prone to the way of the world, because you were born into the world, we all died through the first Adam, and now we're being made new. And he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. You might even put in there any longer. But instead, be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Listen, going to the gym and working out is helpful. You know, having certain lifestyle choices is helpful. There are a lot of different things that are helpful, but there is none so helpful as the renewing of your mind. Because if you can get your mind thinking like God wants you to think, everything else will fall in place. Whereas that can't be said about anything else. You know, if you have the right friendships, or you go to the right church, or you do the right this, or you do the right that, those things are helpful. But a renewed mind sets you on a course for success. Set you on a course to figure out the will of God. Set you on a course to be okay in this age. He says, so be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this is just a banner passage for this concept of what we're doing in this series of the idea of discerning God's will. How can we discern it? We have to have minds renewed, and that renewal takes time and energy and time again and time again and time again. I've just found seasons of my life where I've been not as closely connected to the Word of God, not having that regular washing of the Word of God in the way that I really want to. And it's in my mind, you can almost feel some of it's not like you lose anything. Instead, it's like layers of veil get put over what you do know. It's as life goes on, it's like the enemy and life itself and even some of our own, warring within are adding veils on top of truth. And the more you do that, you guys ever been to a doctor's appointment, eye doctor's appointment, where they're trying to fix your lenses or whatever, they're trying to figure out what your prescription is? Well, the way that they figure out what right is for you, because all of us are a little bit different with our eyeballs, the way they figure that out is they start you off at good, and then they start making it fuzzier and fuzzier, or they do the opposite. And they start off super fuzzy, and they make it a little less, a little less. It's like a layer on top of a layer on top of a layer of a veil over the truth. And we've got to constantly be renewing our minds with the Word of God. And the Word of God is helpful. It's powerful to instruct us and to transform our minds. Our minds daily are receiving information that are causing us to think about life, about God, about people, about ourselves in a certain way. And if we're not regularly renewing our mind with what the Word of God says, allowing it to wash over us. Think about, being out and, you're doing some ditch digging. You get dirt all over you and you wipe your brow. Now you got this mark of brown across your forehead and mud in your hair and on you, and you're all sweaty and you're gnarly. And you come and you get that sweet shower. The water's washing over you. It just feels so good to have it just cleanse off of you. We need to think of ourselves as re-digging ditches every day. And we're showing up dirty every day because the world is just lying to us. Different perspectives, even our own hearts are waging war against us. We need to constantly be renewed with the washing of the Word. We constantly need the renewal of our mind. And the way that that happens is we live out of the Word of God. The Bible is not a labor. The Bible is not a mandatory thing on a checklist. The Bible is our way. The Bible is life to us. The Bible is, if you could figure out how to package Jesus in a book and carry him around and get counsel and get wisdom and get life understanding and get perspective and see things his way. That's what the Word of God is. That's what the Bible is. We need it daily. We need it regularly to wash over us so that, here's the whole point, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. As if to say, you will be incapable to know what God's will is unless you have a good foundation in the Bible. I can tell you, I have seen this to be so true in my life. When I started off in the Lord, I had probably read, three Bible verses in my life, and they were probably all misquoted and, like maybe graffiti on a stall door or something. I mean, I came into this thing fresh, not knowing the Bible at all. And I loved God, but I didn't have a clue what he wanted for my life. I, really loved Jesus. I was that guy in the front row jumping up. I mean, I was going for it. I was a total fool. I loved God with all my heart, but I didn't have a clue what God's will was. And I knew that. And I got a hold of this Bible verse and said, well, it ain't going to be that way in a year. And it ain't going to be that way in two, I'll tell you that much right now. And I started to dive into the Word because I wanted to know his will. I started to get clarity about my life. I started to get clarity about who God was, about who I was, about how to treat people, about what life was supposed to look like. I started to get clarity about how to make decisions about jobs and relationships and all these things. I started to get clarity because I was able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, but it took the Word of God. And without the Word of God, we don't even know our left from our right. And so we've got a culture right now that even, unfortunately, even within the church, is trying to know the will of God through formulas, through smart sayings, through even through godly counsel. I appreciate godly counsel. But we have got to have the Word of God as our foundation because it's the promised way that we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Not just a good idea, but his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. but it comes through the washing of the Word of God over us. It's all about living out of the Word. And so I just want to re-advertise this a bestseller called the Bible, that we want to be a people who live out the Word, who love the Word, who say true when we point to the Word of God, and say false when we look around and something is disagreeing with the Bible. We just look at that thing and go, I don't get it, but that's false. How do you know it's false? Because the Bible says this. And the Bible is the way that we discern the will of God, the nature of God, life. It's how we do it. Well, that's a really good start. However, knowing the Bible is not the fix it for everything, all things, knowing the answer at every moment in your life. It's the reason that we have the Spirit of God living in us. What an incredible thing that God gave us both His Spirit to live in us and His Word, the Word became flesh, His Word in our hand. An objective connection to God, the Bible, and a subjective connection to God, the indwelling Holy Spirit. We get both. This is really, really good news, because really we need both to be able to figure life out and to be able to discern and be able to make our way. As a simple rule, do what's in front of you well until the Lord moves you on to something else. We've talked a little bit about that. And in this session tonight, as we're discussing this idea of knowing God's will with regard to daily life and to life assignments, those big life assignments, which we'll talk about here in a minute, as a general rule, we want to stay put where God has last put us or where we found ourselves until the Lord gives us some more instruction. Learning how to discern the voice of God and to discern His will takes a little bit of energy, takes some time. And until you know it's the direction that the Lord's leading, just stay put. Just do well what the Lord last gave you to do. Just do it well until the Lord makes it clear what you're supposed to take that next stop. And my suggestion is, easiest way to determine God's plan in all the major aspects of life is default on what we've last been doing, default on our current circumstances, and pray like crazy that God gives us new information. We've all been at that place before where we've been walking in a direction and we felt the Lord give us new direction. We went, that's new. Lord, you just said something different. You just gave me instruction I was not thinking about before. And sometimes it's something we're supposed to do immediately. Sometimes it's something the Lord speaks and it starts to grow in us. We get a little bit more clarity as time goes on and go, oh my gosh, the Lord's actually calling me to move across the country. The Lord's, telling me to pursue this thing or to do this or to do this ministry. The Lord's given me those directions and those things grow in us. And when we get the confirmation of the Lord to take those steps, we take them. In the meantime, stay put and do well with what it is that the Lord last gave us. This is what the Word says regarding how we learn how this works in being children of God. Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are called children of God or are called sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit, this means we've got a responsibility to not just be Bible believing. We've got a responsibility to learn how to be led by the Spirit, because it says that the children of God are the ones that know how to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing and moving. Those that are led by the Spirit instead of just led by protocol. Listen, I'm a bullet point list kind of guy. I mean, if there was anybody in the kingdom who is prone to just live by protocol, it's me. Well, this is what you're supposed to do. Well, this is not what you're supposed to do. Well, let's just do this. Well, this is a wisdom, wise decision. Well, let's not do that. That's going to cost us money. I'm just very wired that mechanically. But I'll tell you what, I've learned how to be led by the Holy Spirit so that I don't have to just rely on protocol, but I can go, God, what are you doing? You know, we're sitting in our ministry time, even at the beginning of this service and going, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What direction? Well, we could have had a protocol that said, well, on the first Sunday of the month, we do this. And the second Sunday of the month, we do this. And third, we're sitting there in the service, we're going, God, what do you want to do? And we're being led by the Spirit of the Lord to know the direction that He wants us to go. And that's good. That's actually one of the proofs that we're children of God. And I don't want that to be a discouragement, just the opposite. I want it to be a provoking agent to us, that we would learn to be led by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians, Paul says this in chapter 2. He says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But remember, the Spirit of God is in you. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but he considers them foolishness. And he cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And I look at this and I just see such promise that the Holy Spirit knows the Father's heart at all times. He's in perfect unison. The Holy Spirit knows what we're supposed to do. Holy Spirit knows what we're supposed to pursue. Holy Spirit knows what we're supposed to stay away from, what we're supposed to study, what we're supposed to do in this season, what our life assignments are, what we're supposed to do in 5 minutes from now. The Holy Spirit knows, and he's searching out the deep things of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. We got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be led by his Spirit, because he'll lead us. He says this, Paul says, but the person without the Spirit doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about right now. They're like, learn to be led by the Spirit. What does that even mean? All I know how to do is be led by right, wrong, protocol, rule. That's all I know how to do. Well, yeah, of course, because the Holy Spirit's not in there. But the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer. And for us who believe, we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got access to learn how to hear his voice and to walk according to his ways and to discern the direction that he wants us to go. And it says, these things, the plans of God, the purposes of God, are discerned through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is great because there's a connection point here between what the Bible, between the concept of the Word of God and the Spirit within. Because the Word of God buys us the language of God. That's what's really happening. We're learning a language. We're reading the Word of God. We're reading the Bible. We're learning the language of God so that then the Holy Spirit can communicate to us, that we could discern. You actually can't discern the voice of the Holy Spirit without the Word of God. It's not that you can't ever. It's just that as a rule, the way to live your life, you've got to have the Word because it's the language. It's the language. It's that passage we just read out of Romans that says, your mind must be renewed. You must become transformed in an ongoing way in order to be able to discern the will of God. But as we learn the Word, as the Word washes over us, it transforms us, it gives us language, and then the Holy Spirit sparks in us. He gives us direction. We'll be reading the Bible, a passage about people that really lived and really had real lives and really did real stuff. We'll be reading this passage and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts speaking to us about our own life. Like, I'm reading this passage about Jacob. I mean, how in the world could this apply to my Tuesday? And the Holy Spirit uses it to begin to speak to us. And then we close the Word and we're just worshiping and praying, and the Lord begins to give us even more information that maybe that dialogue started even as we were reading the Bible. And these two things come together, and it's the way that we discern God's will. I really probably could have used this as really our intro for the first session, but I saved it for tonight because of where we're going with the rest of this session. I just think it's so important that we get rooted and reminded about these two things, being founded in the Word of God and allowing it to wash over us in order to transform and renew our mind, and allowing the Holy Spirit that's within us, but the Holy Spirit who is within us, learning to lean and to listen to the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, because it says that those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and the daughters of the living God. Well, now for some new info. I want to look at lifelong pursuits that are just innate to us. They're just in us, and it's different for each one of us. And then long-term assignments, life assignments. You know, whole life long or years and years or maybe decades long assignments. I want to take a look at these two things. And now with the backdrop of, let's just go ahead and move forward as people who know the Word of God, because I know that most of you do. And those who are led by the Holy Spirit, because I know that most of you are. And let's allow those two things to help us work through these two concepts of lifelong pursuits and lifelong assignments. Define these each one real quick. Aspects of lifelong pursuits. What I'm talking about here is the concepts of things that are written on your heart that you cannot help yourself. You're always thinking about them. They're things that no matter what season, no matter what else the Lord's doing, they're things that are just written on your heart that are mostly related to the kingdom. I'll give you a few of the ones that are for me and you may go, well, that's really neat, but that one doesn't really hit home for me. Man, this is really what's important to me. Good, that's actually what's supposed to be happening right now. I don't want you to adopt mine. I just want to give you some practical examples of some of these things that I'm just kind of making up this term, lifelong pursuits. But I'll say this about these ones that I'm going to list out. These are some things that from the very first month or two or three in Christ were important to me, and I had no idea why. And they've never let go of me. They were things that I cared about, though I did not even know the definitions of them. They were things that I longed for, though I had no training on. There are things that in each season of life, I'm making my decisions with these things in mind. Things like pressing in and believing for revival. I mean, nobody ever taught me about revival. I just wanted to see it for some reason. I didn't even know what it was. But there's just something written on my heart to press in and to believe for revival. I mean, it doesn't matter what season I'm in. I just cannot help myself. Revival is written on my heart. I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. I want to press into it. It's not something I have to contrive. It's not something somebody has to stir up in me. It is written on my heart. It is hardwired to me. It is a lifelong pursuit. Until I'm dead, I have no doubt I will be pursuing revival. Church unity. What an interesting one to have written on your heart. Just for the longest time, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't even know that there were denominations. I remember when I first heard the word denomination, I'd been saved for a while and been in the church for a while. I was going to a Baptist church. I didn't know there was a difference between a Baptist church and a Catholic church. I had no idea what a charismatic was. I'd never heard of these things before. I just thought, well, why can't we all just be Christians? I mean, isn't that really what we're supposed to do? And it was something right in the innocence of a very young believer. There was something right, but what I didn't realize, it was something that the Lord was going to have me strive for and fight for and a pursuit of my life the whole way through. Again, nobody has to tell me about it or train me in it. Nobody could get that out of me. Each season of my life, it's something that's written on me. A desire for the lost in the church to be saved. You know what? I did evangelism in Africa. I was out in the mission field and really going for it. And I loved seeing people get saved that had never heard the gospel before. But can I tell you that really didn't excite my heart near as much as somebody who's been going to church for 2 decades and doesn't know Jesus and gets involved in something that we're doing and their life comes alive in Jesus and now they know Jesus? Like, that excites me 100 times more than 10 people, you know, that are totally lost and have never heard the gospel getting saved. Like, I appreciate that. I'm excited about that. But I am so much more excited about the pew sitter that comes to know Jesus. Like, that just excites me. Like, that just, oh, it doesn't just excite me, it excites me, it motivates me. It's a motivating factor. I've got some others. I'm not trying to give you all my list and go, yeah, here's a key into my soul, though sometimes you get it, whether you want it or not. I'm trying to give you a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about when I say life pursuits. I'm not talking about, you know, I really want to build this thing, or, you know, I really want this ministry to grow. I'm talking about things that, if I can just give you some characteristics, some aspects of what I'm talking about when I'm saying lifelong pursuits, most lifelong pursuits are conceptual. Revival? How do you make that happen? Church unity? What, are you going to build a building and call it church unity building? Like, this is a concept. These lifelong pursuits are something that are written on your heart. They're too ingrained. They're too broad. They're too massive. They're too big to be a project. They're not projects. They're intangible. They're conceptual. But you have a hard time talking somebody out of them. You have a hard time telling somebody that they're not important, because these things are important to me. But they're concepts. They're not life assignments, like we're going to go in a minute, actual things that God commissions us to go do this, build that, make this. We're not talking about that. We're talking about things that are written on the heart. They're concepts that you just can't help but think about. They're less tangible than a specific assignment. They're part of the lens through which you view your whole life. There are certain things, I have no doubt, that are written on your hearts. Maybe the issue of justice. Maybe a longing for people to know the Word of God. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what they are. But whatever those things are that are written on your heart, and every one of you that loves Jesus has got them, these are lifelong pursuits that God put in there. A love for hurting people. I mean, that's a lifelong pursuit, something that you just can't shake. You shouldn't try. But in the midst of all that, they become part of the lens through which you make all your decisions, through which you view life. And these pursuits, I'll just say this, slightly change the way you do almost everything. lifelong pursuits slightly change everything for you. But they do not drastically change anything. They slightly change the way you view everything. But they don't drastically change the different ways that you live, or in most cases, they don't drastically change much of anything that you do. Like, I'll give you the for instance on the revival thing. Some of my messages, I think about it a little bit. I'm thinking, how can I sneak in the word revival into the message? But I didn't start Revival Church. You know, that would be like drastically changing the things that I do. Slightly changing the things that I do is the concept comes out almost everywhere in my life. It comes out a little bit. It's like salt on the meal instead of being the meal itself. And as you see these lifelong pursuits, they slightly change almost everything, but they don't drastically change hardly anything. They're not supposed to, because they're not your life assignments. They're these pursuits. They're part of who you are. They're part of the DNA of who God has made you to be. Well, now let's talk about the opposite. Now let's talk about these long-term assignments, these life assignments. So again, there are these things that are just written on the heart, and they're just the way God made you. But then there's stuff God wants you to do. Do this. Do that. These are the assignments. And in addition to having these innate bends, these pursuits in our heart, and those things help set our course, there are things that are unique to us that the Lord wants us to do. There are things that have timetables assigned to it. And at least the ones that we're going to look at tonight, we're going to look at lifelong assignments, things that may take you decades, or really may in fact take you your whole life, or really may even take your whole life and you don't even finish. Now I'm thinking about the Israelites who were enslaved to build those pyramids back in the day. You go, man, and all the other slaves that were a part of those projects in Egypt. It's like you knew as a Hebrew slave or whatever slave in Egypt, you knew your life assignment was build that pyramid. It's going to take you a long time, and you're probably going to die before you see it done, because it would take them, in some cases, a generation or two or three to build some of those massive structures. And just, you know, your life assignment's to build that big thing. There are going to be a few of those where you're going to have some lifelong assignments that the Lord wants you to give your attention and your energy to. You know, for me, I believe that the prayer room is a lifelong assignment for me. That's something that the Lord, he gave me, and I just knew for the rest of my life, this is going to be something that I'm pouring my energy into its assignment. And it's very specific, and it's a very detailed assignment, and it's something that you can really pour your energy into. It's really where you'll be able to see the most fruit, because if you take care of just one field, and you plow that field, and you take care of it, you fertilize it, you water it, and you keep all the crows and stuff away, you're going to make that field pretty awesome in a little bit of time. You're going to be able to see some good fruit there. It's not the only thing you'll ever do. But if you've got a one or two fields that you're really giving some attention to, that's really what I'm talking about. What I want to give is just a few examples of those examples of life assignments. And I'm using the term life assignments and long-term assignments kind of interchangeably, because I didn't get that life assignment from the Lord until, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And before that, I was still alive. So it was something that the Lord gave me somewhere mid-swing into life. And I think that there'll be even some more surprises along the way. So long-term, lots of years, decades, if not your whole entire life. That's really what I'm talking about. Your general career direction. You know, the Lord is in charge. If you find yourself, maybe I quoted this last week too, or 2 weeks ago, but I saw this a kiosk that I liked. And most of the time, I do not particularly enjoy the little cutesy phrases that are put on kiosks outside of churches, but I saw one, I liked it. It said, if Jesus is your co-pilot, change seats. I like that. I was like, that is great. Too many people talk about Jesus being right there with him. It's like, no, I want to be led by him. Last thing I want is him as my equal or my subordinate. That's a place to get into big trouble. But I think sometimes we do that with our job decisions. We make the decision, then we ask God to bless it. Let God be the one that picks your career. And if you'll hone into the Lord, most of us will find that the Lord sets a path that's a general field, a general direction for your whole life, or if not your whole life, for big chunks of your life. That the Lord is setting a path, a direction, and that's helpful. The focus of your ministry. You don't want to just have a ministry, and each one of you is ministers of the gospel. Whether you look at yourself that way or have a license in your pocket really is immaterial. God sees you that way. Each one of you has a ministry before God. And that ministry may never have a website and a name, but it's got a direction, I promise you. To let the Lord lead you in your life assignment regarding ministry. What does he want you to do? Does he really want you to be about the hurting or the broken or really about outreach or really about evangelism, really about training, really about young marriage couples, really about this, really about that? What is the direction that the Lord has for you? There's a lifelong assignment, something that the Lord wants you to pour energy into. Just that idea of young couples. I just think about some of those that I know that have felt really a stir from the Lord that they're going to spend decades ministering to young married couples and young couples that are trying to get married and just helping them through that process. And I think about at year 5, the measure of wisdom and love that they had, and the measure of wisdom and understanding they had at year 10 and 15 and 20, because they put more energy into that specific area because it was a life assignment that the Lord gave them. Your family life. I don't graduate out of being JC's dad when she turns 10, 20, 30. I mean, this is a life assignment. It's my girl. And that's my wife, Amy. And it's the house that we've, household that we've formed, it's a lifelong assignment. And that's something that I'm going to continually pour energy and time into. Here's my point with that. These life assignments are things that we want to discern from the Lord because these are major attributes of our lives. If you can't figure out a season or two in life, you'll still make it. If you don't know what God's saying every second of your day, you'll still make it at the end of this thing. If you don't know what the major life assignments are that God has given to you, you will waste a significant amount of time and energy and life because God has life assignments. You may not like them at all the time. I remember when the Lord gave me the life assignment about the prayer room, I was not happy at all about that life assignment. I was trying to figure out how to get back on the mission field. Last thing I wanted to do was get up every day of my life at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to a prayer meeting. That was the last thing on my plate. Now I love it. I think it's the greatest idea ever. It's funny how the Lord is smarter, wiser, better, stronger. He's got this whole thing figured out for us. If we just submit to his ways, it's way better. I just want to say this. In discerning his will, you need to have some conversation with the Lord again and again and again until you think you've got it. Until you feel like the Lord has given you some clarity. What are your life assignments? And if he hijacks you and changes one or two of them down the road, that's fine. But do you know what they are now? Do you know the things that God wants you pouring your life into, pouring your energy into? These life assignments that are things that God really wants you focusing on, studying, giving attention to, because he wants you to know. And they're actually the way that you'll be able to fulfill his purposes in the earth and really be able to become the person that you're supposed to be because there's so many lessons in those life assignments he wants you to learn. And you're not learning them if you're not in those life assignments. There's things he wants to do. Refining. Sin he wants to work out of you. Issues he wants to work out of you. Joy he wants to impart to you. Gifts he wants to put into your hand that are found inside those life assignments. But you got to be in the will of God. You got to be right where those things are. So I'm going to just encourage us in this series as we're trying to figure out these life assignments. Spend some time, if you don't already know, if you can't articulate them, you can't go, yeah, I know it's this, this, and this. You probably don't have 10. That's too many. If you got 10, go back to the drawing board and ask the Lord how many of those you put on the list. Because you can't got 10. You don't have enough energy for that. But you got a handful, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 life assignments. Ask him what they are and then begin to pour your energy into those things in a very intentional way. This makes you productive in your faith. This fills you with strength and joy and grace. This allows you to grow and to mature. All right, well, enough on that. They're long-term in nature. That's a big, big point. You're setting in for the long haul. You know, you approach things very differently when you're going to make a long road trip versus going and taking an errand to the grocery store. Going to the grocery store, whether or not you use the restroom before you leave the house really doesn't much matter. You'll be all right. You're going on a 10-hour car ride, friend, you better go to the bathroom. you better pack. You better have some snacks. You better know the way. You better have a roadmap. You better have a plan on when you get there, what you're going to do. I mean, you approach going to Walmart 5 miles down the road and going 10-hour car ride or 12-hour car ride completely different. Though in both cases, you go and, you know, get the ignition going in your car in both cases. You approach these completely different. It's so important that you know what the lifelong assignments are so that you can settle in for the long haul. That you can invest your resources and your thought processes and your time and your relationships, that you can align those things in accordance with the long-term assignments that the Lord has for you. I think a bit of a generational thing, and then also a bit of a this hour of human history and what sort of culture has produced in the 20-year-old bracket is not much thinking that far down the road. I'll tell you, it is wisdom to be 20 and be asking these questions. God, what do you have for my life? Where do you want me pointed? What direction do you want me pursuing? Because otherwise you'll hit 30 and have wasted your 20s. And just because you hit 30 doesn't mean you're going to start asking the question. You may hit 40. You may still have no clue. There's too many believers that don't have a clue what God created them to do. God's got stuff he wants us to do. He created you in Christ Jesus to do good works, to have lifelong pursuits and to have assignments that he wants you to do and to pour your energy into stuff. He created you to do stuff. And when you're doing that stuff, it just feels right. You have a sense of accomplishment. You're able to partner with him in this perfect square peg, square hole. I was watching my daughter the other day. She's got one of these little block, you know, things where you stick this little, there's a triangle and a star and all this. And she was trying to push that star through the square hole so hard, it just wouldn't work. I thought for sure she was going to force it through. We're going to have a broken toy on her hands. It just feels frustrating. She kept looking at me. She goes, help, I need help. I'm like, you know what doesn't go in that hole? Sometimes we know. And we just keep trying to push the thing through and then we're frustrated. And life's not good. And we wonder why. It's because we're trying to force something. The Lord desires that we would do that. We'd have that square peg. We'd see that square hole. We'd put it right in there. There'd be a sense of accomplishment that we're right in the will of God, spending ourselves, pouring our energy into something, doing the things that the Lord has for us. I want to tell you, as a majority of the room of 20-year-olds, you want to invest your energy now. God, what do you want me to spend decades doing? What direction for my life? What do you want me to pour decades of my time and my energy into? And maybe the Lord won't tell you the answer to all of them. But if he just told you one, you'd start being so productive. You would wind up being so much better off in 2, 3, 4, 5 years because you were thinking that way about a direction that the Lord wanted you to pour yourself into. It is essential as believers, as we're learning to discern God's will, that we discern not just the day-to-day, not just the immediate, not just the what do we do now, not just the how do we manage today, and is the Lord speaking this or is the Lord speaking that in a season? It is so essential as believers we discern what the long-term assignments are so that we can fulfill God's plan for us. Well, let's now touch this last one. Finding his will in the middle of the day. So we talk about big picture. We got as big picture as we can get. How are you going to spend decades? We talk about seasons. We talked about the general will of God. What are just some things that are the part of God's plan for our whole life? But we need to be able to figure out, what does God want me doing right this second? Because there's an answer. Just like there's an answer for what does God want me doing for decades, there's an answer for what does God want me to do at 5 o'clock p.m. today. What does he want? What does he want in the middle of my workday? What does he want? I think that the Lord is willing to speak to us about these things a lot more than we're willing to ask. I think he actually has a lot more for us that we don't need to be paranoid about. Instead, we need to be pursuing. I think there's a lot that he would say if we would just open the dialogue. Father, what do you want to do right now? What do you want to say? Is there anything you want me to do? Is there anything you want me to be a part of? Is there anything you want me to pay attention to? Is there just anything you're thinking right now that I was too busy doing something else to even ask? I think there's a lot of this. And as I've been able to walk this out, most times not as good as I'd like, sometimes a little bit better than, you know, whatever. As I've been able to walk this out for 15 years, I've been astounded how many times he'll talk to me in the middle of the day about right now, about what he wants me to do. If I'll just ask, if I'll just wait on the Lord, not get impatient. John 5:19, Jesus gave us this perfect picture of how this works. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Do you realize the Father was drawing nonsense in the dirt one time? The Father was spitting in dirt and making mud and putting it in a guy's eyes to heal him? The Father was going fishing and getting coins out of the mouth of a fish. These were things the Father was doing because Jesus did it. And he said he did nothing without seeing the Father do it first. That see the Father, I don't actually imagine the Father up in heaven like casting a lure off of the throne under the sea of glass like crystal trying to catch something. The point is this very thing that we're talking about is, Lord, what is it that I could do right now that would be in partnership, in perfect union with what you want for me to do? Lord, if I were perfectly submitted to you, if we were able to do exactly what you wanted to do this afternoon, right now, tomorrow at 5, what would that be? And I want to be right in the middle of it. And Jesus said, hey, I got good news for you. You can do it as a man. This is how I live. He said, I'm so submitted to the Father that I don't just do whatever the heck I want. I go where he goes. I do what he does. I say what he says. This is so incredible. And the access point is there for us every single day that we can be right smack in the middle of the will of what God's doing. And these things overlap because you can find yourself in the middle of a lifelong assignment doing the thing God wants you to do, doing even some projects that are particular to that specific season, and in the middle of it say, well, God, it's Tuesday at 4 o'clock. What do you want to do? And the Lord give you a specific to-do. Maybe it's not even a to-do. Maybe it's just he wanted you to know. He gives you a specific to know about life right then, or about a person, or about something that's going on around you. And you find yourself lining up in the perfect will of God for a life assignment, in the perfect will of God in a seasonal assignment, in the perfect will of God for this very moment, and all of them in perfect unity. The will of God, which takes discernment, and you won't know just because you woke up in the morning. You got to engage the Lord. You got to have the Word of God washing over you. You got to ask him. You got to be led of the Holy Spirit. But this is what he wants. He wants us to learn how to discern his will. And it's accessible to us 24 hours a day to know what it is that God wants right now. Well, when God says now, I'll just give you a few examples. You know, God, you're walking around and maybe the Holy Spirit nudges you and you weren't even asking. Or maybe you're asking. I just want to encourage us to be a people that ask a lot. Lord, you want to say anything? Anything. Maybe the Lord gives you a Bible verse about you. Maybe the Lord gives you an assignment for something, somebody else. Maybe the Lord tells you to do something. I don't know. But if you just ask that question regularly, you'll hear more. And when God says do something now, some of the things that he might say is, witness to that stranger. Go tell them about me. Or just go encourage that stranger. Just tell them that I like them. Tell them your testimony. And the Lord can tell you anything. Maybe giving somebody a prophetic word. Just in the middle of your day. I mean, you're at Starbucks and all of a sudden, Lord, you want to say anything? Yeah, go tell that young lady over there right now this, this, and this. Well, okay. Maybe it's praying over somebody. Just go pray for that person. You just feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit. You just ask the question, Lord, anything you want to do? Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Would you go pray for that person? Lord, they look like they'll beat me up if I go ask them that. Just go pray for them. Okay. You won't get beat up. Or if you do, it's probably good for you. You know. Sometimes the Lord wants us beat up, honestly. There are times in life where the Lord wants to do things to us that aren't our favorite thing. Our part's being obedient. So whether he beats you up or not isn't the point. But if you feel the Lord's leading on these things, these now moments, these, yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked, Brad. I actually do want you to go say this, do this. avoid that. Go there. Do something out of your normal routine. You know, all of us have routines. I think that's helpful. But sometimes the Lord might even redirect you from your normal routine. You normally do this, normally do that. The Lord wants you to do something different. Or go someplace that's out of your routine. These are some of those now words. And when the Lord has a now word for us, and that's not like an official term, but when the Lord's got a word that's I want you to do something right now, I want you to say this, do this, whatever, look up this Bible verse, go encourage that person, do it. Do it. Because the perfect plan of God that includes the broadness of your whole life also includes that moment. And the Lord has a way to weave those things perfectly together. Perfectly. I was on a plane one time, and I'm an intercessory missionary. And I was on a trip, and all of a sudden I just felt like the Lord was just like, you need to start talking to this guy next to you. And so I start talking to him. And it would have been easier for me, because when I go on a ministry trip, I have to talk a lot. And so, preach and then side conversations. It's easier for me when I'm not around people that I know or have to like minister with. It's easier for me to just be quiet because I got to save my voice and just kind of get a little bit of energy and all that kind of stuff. So it's not necessarily my favorite thing to be on a plane ride and have a long conversation with somebody, honestly. So I just feel like I'm supposed to. So I start talking with this guy, and we start, developing a conversation, and we get a few minutes in, and all of a sudden I realize, man, this guy loves the prayer movement. He just thinks that the house of prayer is the coolest thing ever. And he's like, you're a director of house of prayer? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, what are you on your way to right now? I was like, well, actually, a house of prayer thing. He's like, oh, my gosh. He gets out his checkbook and writes me a check for $2,000 right there. He says, my wife always telling me to sow into good soil. You're good soil, aren't you? I'm going to give you $2,000. I was like, oh, my gosh. Worth it. Have that conversation, friends. As an intercessory missionary that raises support, just have some guy write you a check for $2,000 that you met 15 minutes ago because you just obeyed the Holy Spirit when you didn't do something you wanted to do. I mean, just, my goodness. Well, that's kind of how this works. The Lord gives you a little bit of a redirect. Maybe it's not what you wanted. Maybe it's not what you normally do. Maybe it's whatever. But the Lord leads you. He's leading you into part of his plan, not leading you out of his plan. It's not like he's going to redirect you and somehow pull you out of the plan of God for your life. It is going to sew perfectly into the tapestry. You just got to be obedient. You just got to obey. And I'll just tell you, sometimes it's disruptive. I mean, I got off that plane and I was excited, but my voice was hurting. I mean, it's not like I just all of a sudden just, didn't talk for an hour or whatever on that plane. I mean, I did. So I showed up and it was a little disruptive. I had to pay for it, but I'm like, well, it's pretty good money. Lose my voice for an hour, hour and a half on the plane. Like, I think this is worth it. It's just funny how the Lord does this, that we don't need to be, we don't want to look at the disruption that the now words are going to maybe cause and allow those things to hinder us. Instead, we just throw ourselves in and just know it's better. I mean, I look back on that thing and I go, it was well worth it. 100 times over. And while I'm thinking, well, maybe the Lord wants me to minister to this guy or something, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I want to be obedient, but really, I really just want to sit here. And while I'm thinking this is going to be a little disruptive, it's actually perfectly in line with the plan of God for my life, with the big picture. Brad, be an intercessory missionary. Be a full-time missionary in this way. Big picture, life assignment kind of a thing. And the Lord was looking after my life assignment in the moment, in order to be able to supply for my needs. That's how he does it. And it may not always look just like that, and it doesn't always have to do with finances. It could do with 1,000 different things, but I think that that story illustrates the point a little bit, that the concept that the Lord is not going to lead you out of the perfect plan of God by you following his Holy Spirit. Instead, the leading of the Spirit is going to weave into the will of God for your life in a broader sense. Well, how do you discern in the moment? I just want to give you two simple, and I recognize this is an oversimplification. We've done a three-part series on how to hear God's voice, and so this one and that one really kind of go together, that three-part series and this three-part series. So I'm not going to redevelop all this, but I'll just give you two simple things as a kind of a starting point and as you mature. As you're trying to figure out if God's speaking, what's he speaking, what might he be saying? Is it safe to take that step in how to discern him in the moment? As you're starting off, I want to give you permission to be a giant fool and just do it. You think it's God, do it. Is it outside? Does it disagree with the Bible? Don't do it. Does it disagree with the direction of the leadership around you? Don't do it. But most of the time, those things don't even apply. It's witness to this person. It's tell this person this prophetic word. It's go read this Bible verse right now. It's talk to this person. It's say this. It's pray over that person. None of that's going to get in the way of anything. Just do it. Oh, man, I don't know. This is pretty crazy. It's pretty outside my comfort zone. Just do it. I just want to encourage you. 100% just do it every time and just look stupid if it doesn't land right. That's okay. It's good for you. The way to learn how to hear God is figure out what his voice doesn't sound like. That's a really good starting point. And the way you figure out what his voice doesn't sound like is you find out the hard way a few times. Oh, I guess that was just me being zealous. Okay. Well, how are you going to learn what's you being zealous and what's the Holy Spirit unless you, in faith, go, Lord, I think this is you. Help me not do nothing stupid. Keep me out of trouble. Here I go. I just want to encourage you as you're on the front end of this, just do it. Just do it. Get somebody with you that loves Jesus. You know, you're in a small group. Get your small group leader encouraging and praying for you and helping you process some of the stuff. But just do it. Just do it. Just do it. And I'll tell you this. I was this guy. I mean, I was loose cannon, reckless, ready to go, just do it guy. I mean, I said, did some crazy stuff. Nothing, you know, heretical, but some crazy stuff. Some of them didn't land so awesome. But here's the thing. The majority of the stuff that would really actually wind up getting you into trouble, remember who's in charge here. It's God. He'll keep you from so much of that stuff because you don't have the capacity to discern it yet. The stuff that's like, it's God, but it's high level, and really as a you know, new believer or a person just learning how to hear God's voice, you really don't even have any business touching that. He won't even give you those assignments most of the time. Until you've reached a measure of maturity to be able to even handle such things. And so I'll just say this, on the front end, just go for it. Just do it. Just go for it. Say it, pray it, be it, read it, do it, go there, whatever. Get some people praying for you. Get some godly counsel in your life. I'm all on board for all that stuff. But just do it. But as you mature, a couple things happen. As you mature, you're able to handle more difficult and more costly assignments. On the front end, the Lord's not going to mostly, I mean, I'm not going to say he couldn't ever. I'm just going to say he mostly does not. And mostly is like 99.99999% of the time. He is not going to give you some really super duper costly assignment that's a now assignment that you're not mature enough to handle. You're not mature enough to say yes to. You're not mature enough to do it right. He's going to get you started with some smaller stuff, but as you mature, you'll be able to handle more difficult assignments. You'll be able to give more difficult prophetic words. You'll be able to go up to bigger people who look like they could beat you up and pray for them and win them over and see them give their life to Jesus and weep. The Lord will move on you because you'll grow from glory to glory as you mature and you walk with Christ and as you mature in hearing how to hear his voice. And he'll give you more costly assignments because your discernment will increase. Hallelujah. We don't have to stay immature, lack of discernment, no understanding. We don't have to stay that way. We can grow, and we do. And as you grow, your discernment will increase. And not only that, you'll have some experience to go off of. I'll tell you what, I love discernment, but I really like having some experience in my back pocket too to go, I'm not doing that unless God holds me at gunpoint. I'm not doing that one again. I mean, there's just no way. God, you get out your big gun. I'll say yes, but you got to point it right at my eyeballs because I am not doing that. I got some experience that tells me that wasn't you last time or that was just me or that was just my zeal or that was this. Experience helps. As you get a little bit of time under your belt, you'll grow in discernment. You'll also have some experience, and both of those things will help you, and you'll be actually a far more useful vessel. I think the thing that hinders people the most from following Jesus in the moment is their unwillingness to look stupid, their unwillingness to do something for God that's risky, their unwillingness to take a step of faith. And you'll never get to maturity until you've worked through your immaturity in this area. You can be so mature in knowing the word. You can be so mature in counseling people. You can be so mature in 10 areas and still be the most immature Christian in learning how to discern and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit in the moment. You can die that way and be mature in 10 other categories. We will die immature in the area of discerning his will in the moment and responding to those now words and learning how to discern his voice in that area until we have worked through a season of immaturity instead of tried to sidestep it. And so I want to encourage all of you, if you feel like you're in that boat, well, I don't really know how to hear God's voice in the moment. I really wouldn't even know what to do if I was at the grocery store and God told me to walk over to somebody and say something to them. I wouldn't even know what to do. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm immature. This is a really good starting point conversation because God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. So just have the conversation with God and go, God, this is an area in my life. I'm immature, but I don't want to die that way. Help me. Help me. I'm immature in this area. Teach me. Instruct me. I want to work through my immaturity. Okay. Here's the assignment. Go tell that person this. Oh, no. No, can't we just do the download thing where you just like fix me? Doesn't work that way. You got to work through the immaturity, and the way you do that is by being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is how life looks. John 3, 6 through 8. This is what's supposed to happen is we're learning to discern the will of God. John 3, Jesus is giving us a description about how it looks for the believer as we're in this process, this journey of trying to learn to discern his voice, to discern his will in the big things, to discern his will for all of our lives, just the general plan of God, to discern his will for seasons of life, for the long-term assignments, the pursuits that we have in our heart, the moment-by-moment thing, he says this. He says, the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You must become this new creature. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit of God. To learn how to discern God's will for our lives, there is no neat formula. There is no clear path that doesn't change. There is no, this is how it is and nothing about this ever shifts. The whole thing about learning how to discern God's voice is like trying to follow the direction of the wind. Put one of those, you know, windmills up in the air. I guarantee you, over the course of a week, that windmill's direction will not have stayed in that exact same spot the whole week long. It tilts, it turns, wind's blowing this way, wind's blowing this way. Wind's coming this way, strong wind coming this way, wind's going this way. Learning to discern the will of God for our lives takes a constant, you know, ear to the ground, a tuning into the Holy Spirit the whole lives through. And this is what God desires for us, is that we would not be people that are just steeped in churchianity, that we go to church and that we have relationships. Those things are awesome. He desires that the people of God be people who discern the will of God for their lives in the broad strokes and in the meticulous ones. That we learn how to discern the will of God and follow his Holy Spirit.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.